Good morning. It's great to see you here today. Take your Bibles, if you would. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. We're in a short mini-series of messages from Hebrews 11 called A Life That Pleases God. And today, we started last Sunday, and today's our second Sunday. But Hebrews 11, A Life That Pleases God. Now, by way of review, we saw last Sunday that in Hebrews 11, there are two themes that run parallel in this chapter. One is the theme of faith. This is the faith chapter. It is the hall of fame of faith, or the honor roll of faith. And you see that as you read through the chapter, you'll see those key words, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. It is all about a life of faith. And then the other theme that goes along with that in this chapter is pleasing God, a life that pleases God. And we heard in verse 2, by faith the men of old gained approval, God's approval. And then we heard that Enoch walked with God, he was pleasing to the Lord. And Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. So hence our series, A Life That Pleases God, and we have already seen that the life that pleases God is going to be a life of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's not hard, difficult, unusual, or rare. It's impossible. So a life that pleases God is a life of faith. Now, as far as clarifications go or disclaimers, last Sunday we also said, we're not talking about salvation this morning. A life that pleases God, doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. We're not talking about gaining salvation. You are not saved on the basis of things that you do. You're saved on the basis of what Christ did. His death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. That's how we're saved. Salvation is a gift from God. God's gracious, merciful gift to anyone who would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved when you recognize that you're a sinner and you need Jesus Christ and you believe He died for you and was buried and was raised again, and you throw yourself at His feet asking for mercy, asking Him to forgive you and to save you and to change you. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's how and when you're saved. So that's not what we're talking about here. Doing the things that are pleasing in His sight, it's not about gaining salvation. We're also not trying to gain God's love. His love is unconditional. His love is everlasting. There's nothing you could do to make God love you more. There's nothing you could do to make God love you less. God so loved a wicked, depraved, unregenerate world that He gave His only begotten Son. God commendeth His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, idolaters, flagrantly defying and denying the Word of God, the ways of God, the will of God, the commands of God, Christ died for us. So we're not talking about earning God's love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We are talking about gaining God's approval. For by it, by faith, the men of old gained approval, God's approval. We're talking about doing those things that are pleasing to the Lord. And we saw in the New Testament several times, we were told we're to learn what is pleasing to Him. We ought to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in all respects. We ought to be like the Apostle Paul. We have as our ambition, whether present or absent, alive or dead, we want to be pleasing to Him. So that should be your desire as a Christian. I want to please the Lord. I want to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I want to gain His approval. I want to hear His commendation one day. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. So that should be our desire, and that's our goal. That's what we're working toward in this little series of this mini series of messages. Well, how do I live a life that will please the Lord? Well, it's going to be a life of faith. And again, as a matter of review, last week we arrived at a working definition of faith. We said faith is actively trusting God. Faith is not just agreeing with a statement, hoping it's true, or hoping against hope that something's going to happen. No, faith is actively trusting God. When we have faith, one we saw, faith is believing God before I see it. And verse 1 in this chapter, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The world says seeing is believing. God says no, believing is seeing. And by faith, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. By faith, we believe that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again. By faith, we believe Jesus is coming again. By faith, we believe there's going to be a resurrection. By faith, we believe that there's a judgment day and a heaven and a hell and an eternity. It's all by faith. Faith is believing before I see it. And then we saw last Sunday, faith is giving before I can afford it. We talked about Cain and Abel, and Abel's sacrifice, and it was pleasing to the Lord. Faith is the difference maker. If you wait till you think you can afford to give, you'll never give. Faith is giving before you can afford it, and trusting God to be faithful himself. So that's where we've been so far. This morning, we're going to add one more point, or one more truth, to this life of faith, and it's this. Faith is trusting God enough to obey before I understand it. So we're just going to add one more point, and that's the only point in this whole message. So I guess we could go ahead and close in prayer, couldn't we? Faith is trusting God enough, actively trusting God enough to obey before I understand it. That's the point I want you to take home with you this morning. Now, in Hebrews 11, we're going to see five examples of that. Five illustrations of trusting God enough to obey before you understand it. Five examples of this. We start with Noah. So let's start with Noah. In verse 7, well, let's start with verse 6 to get a running start and remind us of last week. So Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him, our two themes. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. For example, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and he became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Noah, warned by God about things not yet seen, prepared an ark. Now, you are no doubt familiar with the story of Noah and Noah's ark, but for sake of thoroughness, let's go back and revisit it. So let's go to Genesis chapter 6. We're not going to read the whole account. It's several chapters long. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6 and just be reminded. Genesis chapter 6, and let's pick up with verse 9, Genesis 6, 9. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Oh, that sounds like Enoch. He walked with God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. Goes on, he has some instructions about the ark. Move down to verse 17. Behold, I, even I, am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, the animals after their kind, every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. As for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible, and gather it to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them. Thus Noah did, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. Now, keep in mind, if you go back and read Genesis, when God told Noah to build the ark because he was going to flood the earth, it had never rained before. Noah has never seen rainfall. And God comes to Noah and says, Noah, I'm going to destroy the world with a flood, and I want you to build an ark. Do you have any questions? Now, I can imagine Noah said, I've got two questions. The first one is, what's a flood? I'm going to flood the world. What does that mean? Second question, what's an ark? There's no reason to believe that Noah had ever built an ark before. Don't think he was in ark building business. Build an ark. Thus, Noah did all that God had commanded. Noah did it. He obeyed without understanding. He believed before he saw it. He obeyed without understanding. This is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Abraham or Noah believed. Faith is the difference maker. Then we have another example. Abraham. Look in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, let's just refamiliarize ourselves with this story. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12. In verse 1, Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Not the land I have shown you, not the land I already told you, I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So when Abraham is 75 years old, God tells him, Abram, I want you to leave. Leave your father's house. This is your identity. You're your father's son. You bear your father's name. I want you to leave your identity. Leave your family, your clan, your country. This is your security, your safety. I want you to leave everything that identifies you, makes you comfortable, makes you feel safe. Leave everything that is known and familiar. I want you to leave it all and go to a land that I will show you. Now just imagine with me that conversation between Abram and his wife. Honey, I need you to start packing. We're moving. We're moving. Why? Because God told us to. Well, where are we moving to? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? How far away is it? I don't know. Where is it? I don't know. How long will it take? I don't know. I just know we need to pack up and go. That's faith. By faith, Abraham left. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't have all the answers. He didn't even know all the questions. And yet he obeyed. He got up and he went out. He obeyed before he understood it. Four times the Bible tells us the righteous man lives by faith. The just shall live by faith. The Christian does not live by his wits, by his cunning, by his ingenuity, by his strategic thinking, by his in-depth planning. The Christian lives by faith. The just shall live by faith. If you wait till you have everything all planned out and all the questions answered before you're going to obey God, my friend, you will never obey God. And you will not please God. And you're going to miss out on the blessings of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Too many times, we want to have everything all planned out, don't we? I want to have everything all planned out. I want to have all my questions answered. I want to have plans, and I want to have strategies, and I want to have backup plans, and what if this happens, and contingencies, and God doesn't do that. Now, maybe God will deal differently with you, but God has never given me that kind of a plan, even though I've asked. Lord, can you give me a 10-year plan? No. No, we're not going to do that. Okay, a 5-year plan? No. 1-year plan? No. I don't need to know all the details, just some highlights. No. Jeff, I'll give you a day. We'll just get through this day. You know what you're supposed to do today. Now you go do it. And I'll help you tomorrow with tomorrow. One day at a time. It's kind of like walking with a flashlight in pitch dark. You can only see so far. That's the life of faith. You can only go so far. You can only see so far, but you trust the Lord and you follow Him step by step, day by day. That's the life of faith. God's not going to give us this whole detailed, planned out plan with 5 different contingencies. Nope, you obey without having to understand. We want God to submit His plans for our approval. I mean, if we're honest, what I really want is God for Him to submit His plans for my approval, and I would love to give Him my input and my opinions on things. God doesn't want your input. He doesn't need your opinions. He just wants your obedience. You don't have to understand. You don't have to have all the answers. Just obey. That's faith. obeying before I understand it. Well, we have Noah. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham went out. Now we have the example of Moses. And with Moses, we have three examples within one man. Look in verse 27. Now we're going he goes on to talk more about Abraham. We're going to come back to Abraham later on. But move down to verse 27. Let's talk about Moses. Verse 27. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, Moses left Egypt. Now, probably this is referring to the Exodus itself. Moses feared God more than he feared Pharaoh, and having seen the unseen, talking about the burning bush, he talked with the Lord at the burning bush, but he led the people out of Egypt, not knowing exactly how they're going, where they're going, how it's all going to play out. God didn't give Moses all the details. It was a step-by-step process, day-by-day process. So he left in faith, led the people of God out of Egypt by faith, not knowing where they're going, how they're going to get there. And then, two, he kept the Passover, verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. So by faith, he left Egypt, led the people of God out of Egypt. By faith, he kept the Passover. Now, the Passover, you can go back to the Exodus and you read about that. This is the final plague, the plague of the death of the firstborn. And if you remember that whole story, God told Moses, "Moses, I want to send my death angel through the land of Egypt. This is the final plague. And I will strike the firstborn down. I'll strike the firstborn of Egypt. But you can be safe, and my people can be safe, if they will stay inside this night. When I send the death angel, stay inside and put the blood of the lamb on the lintel and doorpost of the house, and the death angel will pass over." Literally, pass over. That's where Passover comes from. The death angel will pass over that house, and that family will be spared the plague of the death of the firstborn. This is the night of the Passover. Now, there's more to it than that, but that's what I want you to see here this morning, the Passover. By faith, they sprinkled the blood on the door. Now, imagine how that conversation went. God tells this to Moses. Moses has to go tell his lieutenants and the captains and so forth, and that word's got to filter all the way down through the Hebrews. How does that work? So somebody comes to you and tells you, now you're familiar with the story, but imagine you're hearing this for the first time. Somebody comes to you, an Egyptian slave, and says, "Yeah, Yahweh, the God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's going to send a death angel through..." Wait, stop right there. He's going to send a what? Death angel. I've never heard of a death angel. Well, it's not good, but God's going to send a death angel. And he's going to kill the firstborn of everyone and everything. The firstborn? Wait a minute, I'm firstborn. I don't like this. He's going to send the firstborn. What can I do? I'm glad you asked. Stay inside. But I was going to go to Walmart tonight. No, stay inside. I have a date. Cancel it. Stay home. I wanted to go to the game. Don't. Stay home and put blood of the lamb on the doorpost and lintel of your house. Now, you're also going to go in and eat that lamb, and there's other things, but make sure you get this. Put blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel of your house, and the death angel will pass over your family. Now, you've just heard that for the first time. What? Think about that. Huh? How does that work? Why does the death angel, whatever that means, why does he pass over a house that has blood of a lamb on? Huh? You don't have to understand it, buddy. Just do it. Just obey, and you'll live. See, that's faith. By faith, Moses and the people, they obeyed. It didn't have to make sense. They don't have to understand it, but you sure better do it. And they were saved from the death angel. Passover. Not only do we have Passover, move down to verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Now, I'm assuming you are familiar with the crossing of the Red Sea. As God led the people of Israel out of Egypt, They're going through the desert. Pharaoh's army is pursuing them, chasing them. And the next thing you know, God has led them right up to the Red Sea. Now their back is against the wall. They are in a box canyon scenario. Their fate is sealed. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to retreat. There's nowhere to escape. Their back is against the wall of the Red Sea, and their pursuers are right in front of them. This is death. And God told Moses, just raise your hands, and I'm going to send a strong east wind, and I'm going to split the sea. And that's what he does. A strong east wind divides the sea overnight, and there's a wall of water on the left and a wall of water on the right. And then the next morning, God tells the people, forward march. Just march through the Red Sea. And by faith, they did. Now, if you have a study Bible that says, well, it's actually the Reed Sea, and probably what happened is Pharaoh's chariots got mired in the mud and it caused confusion, you need a different study Bible. The Bible says there was a wall of water on the left and there was a wall of water on the right, and God's people crossed on dry ground. Now, that took faith. You don't have to understand what's holding the water up. You don't have to know. You just need to walk. Walk quickly. Keep moving. Get across. And then Pharaoh's army in pursuit comes in behind, and God tells Moses, lower your arms. And God brings the water in on the Egyptians. They didn't get mired in the mud. They got drowned in the sea, and not one was left. That's what the Bible says. By faith, they crossed on dry ground. By faith. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to be able to explain it. You just have to obey by faith. Well, there's Moses. So by faith, Noah built an ark. Abraham went out. By faith, Moses left Egypt, kept the Passover, crossed the Red Sea. Now we have Joshua and Jericho. Look in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Now we fast forward a little bit. We're in the conquest. Moses has died. Joshua is in control, in command. Joshua is leading God's people into the promised land. They are conquering the land of promise step by step, day by day. And they have come to the walls of Jericho. Jericho is a walled city. It is an impenetrable fortress. Let's go back and read about it. Joshua chapter 6. So let's go back. Let's refamiliarize ourselves with the story. In Joshua chapter 6, in verse 1, Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. So again, this is a walled city, a fortress. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. I've already done this. Now, faith is believing before I see it. But God says, I've already signed the deed over. I'm going to give it to you. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead. Now, do you get this? So here's a walled city, a fortress. And the strategy for taking the city is we're going to get the priest, we're going to get the Ark of the Covenant, the armed men, our army, they're going to go in front of the covenant and bring up the rear guard behind the Ark of the Covenant. And then the people are going to be behind all that. And we're going to go march around this city. And the people are going to be silent. Now, 7 priests are going to blow horns, but the people are to be quiet. So you're going to go around the city. Once a day for 6 days. Shh. And then on the 7th day, we're going to do it 6 times. You're going to go around the city. Priests are blowing trumpets, but you're going to be quiet for 6 laps. And then on the 7th lap, they're going to blow the horns, and all the people are going to shout. You're going to shout like you have never shouted in your life, and the walls will fall down flat. Now imagine how that conversation went. God tells this to Joshua. Joshua gets the priests together, and the priests maybe get some of their lieutenants or whatever. But how are we going to do this? How are we going to take an armed city? Well, there's only a fortified city. There are only a couple of ways. We could throw up hooks and ladders and that kind of a thing, but that's a suicide mission. But we can do it. It's been done before. So we can try hooks and ladders. We can try storming the doors. We could build a siege ramp. So how are we going to do this? And then he explains. Well, we're going to walk around the city once a day for 6 days. Shh. And then on the seventh day, we're going to do it 6 more times. Shh. And then you're going to shout like you've never shouted before, and the wall's going to fall down flat. That's the first time you've ever heard that. What? Huh? I don't have to be a military tactician to know that's not going to work. That's not how you assault a fortified position. No. You don't have to understand it. You just have to obey. Faith is trusting God enough to obey before you understand it. So what happened? Well, let's look. Joshua chapter 6, move down to verse 20. So they do this 6 days in a row, one lap a day, 6 days. On the seventh day, they do go around 6 times. And Joshua 6:20, the people shouted on the seventh lap. The people shouted, the priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. You don't have to understand it. You just obey it. Trust God enough to obey before you understand it. Now, hang on to Joshua. We're not done. Hang on to Joshua 6. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. So we have, by faith, Noah built an ark. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, Moses. By faith, Joshua took Jericho. And then, by faith, Rahab, verse 31, Rahab, the harlot, did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. By faith, Rahab the harlot. Now, wait a minute. What's she doing here? I mean, we're talking about heroes of the faith, these great men of God, Abraham, Noah, Enoch, Moses, and now we've got Rahab the harlot. What is she doing in here? By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient. This goes back to Jericho. You can go back and read about her more in Joshua chapter 2. We're not going to read it for now, but Rahab lived in Jericho. In chapter 2, Joshua sends out spies to do some reconnaissance on Jericho. What are we up against? What's this look like? What are the people saying? What are they doing? So he sends 2 spies into the city of Jericho. They run into Rahab. Rahab hides them, protects them. And they kind of make a deal. You help me and I'll help you. You keep us safe and we'll keep you safe. And so that's what Rahab did. And by faith, Rahab made a choice. Now, keep in mind, she's a pagan. She's an idol worshiper. She is a harlot. She lives in Jericho. She doesn't know about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. She does not know the God of Israel, Yahweh. She's never heard of Moses and the Ten Commandments. She doesn't know Joshua from Adam, but she's heard a few things. She's heard about these slaves who have come out of Egypt, and their God is paving the way for them. And at every turn, God, their God, is giving them victory. And they're coming to Jericho. And so she does the math and she makes a choice. She puts her faith in a God she does not know. She's putting her faith in the God of the Jews, in Yahweh. So she puts her faith in a God she does not know. Now, folks, this is a leap of faith that could cost her everything. She's going against her own people. She's turned against her own city. She is aiding and abetting the enemy of her city. And yet she cast her lot with the Hebrew slaves and with their God. And as a result, she is spared and her family is spared. I'll show you. Let's go back to Joshua 6, verse 25. We just read, the walls fell down flat. The Hebrews go in, they take the city. And verse 25, however, Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all she had, Joshua spared. And she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So Rahab the harlot, a pagan, idol worshiper, a harlot, possibly a temple priestess in a fertility cult, that kind of a temple prostitute. Either way, she put her faith in a God she did not know, and God saved her. You know what that says? That says no matter who you are, where you've been, how far you've gone, no matter what you've done, God's love and grace is reaching out to you. And you're never out of reach of God's love and grace and mercy if you'll turn to Him in faith. Repent and believe the gospel. Rahab the harlot was saved by faith. Not only was she saved, she spent the rest of her life with the people of God. Not only that, but she's in the genealogy of the Messiah, the Son of God. If you'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll save you. No matter where you've been, what you've done, how far you've gone, you're never outside of the reach of God's grace and God's mercy if you'll respond to Him in faith. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Have you been saved? Have you come to the point where you've said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but You're the Savior. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me, save me, take me, use me. I'm Yours. If you've never done that, or if you want to do that, if you have questions about that, we'd love to help you, that most important decision. In a moment, we'll stand and sing our hymn of decision. I'll be right here. I invite you to come to me and say, Preacher, I need Jesus. I want to be saved. However you want to say it, we'd love to talk with you privately, pray with you if you'd like to, and help you. And you can leave here today knowing that Jesus is your Savior, and heaven is your home, and you can start this remarkable adventure of walking with God, pleasing God, and living by faith. If you're a Christian, my question for you is, are you living a life that pleases God? The only way you can do that is a life of faith, actively trusting God. A life that pleases God is a life where you trust God enough to believe before you see it. You trust God enough to give before you can afford it. You trust God enough to obey before you understand it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the adventure that is the Christian life, to walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. Lord, help us to hear that. May it resonate in our own hearts and lives. That You're not going to give us plans and itineraries and contingencies. You're going to require faith at every turn. And Lord, I pray that we would embrace that truth, live that truth, and celebrate that truth, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it is impossible to please You. So God, may we be ready, willing, and excited to say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to believe before I see it. I'll give before I can afford it. Lord, I'll obey before I understand it, because I want to please You. God, for the one who's never been saved, help them to hear they need Jesus Christ. It's not about religion and rules, rites and rituals. It's about You. And Lord, I pray that You bring that one to the cross even today to be saved. Take charge of this time of decision. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.